Welcome to That's a Chunky. This is Kevin here with James, who before alcohol school orders 55 burgers, 55 fries, 55 tacos, 55 pies, 55 cokes, 100 tater tots, 100 pizzas, 100 tenders, 100 meatballs, 100 coffees, 55 wings, 55 shakes, 55 pancakes, 55 pastas, 55 peppers, 155 taters. I had to do it. I'm easily so good. I'm third best in the world at delivering that. But we are very lucky to be joined today by Kim Yarborough, one of the two professionals to utter that line in the pay forward sketch from I Think You Should Leave. Kim, how are you?
I'm really good, guys. Really good tonight.
Good, good. So before we get into the sketch, I'm going to step back a little bit and just talk a little bit about your career, which you sort of have a, hope I'm not selling you short, but at least you're a double threat. I know you're doing some voice acting. So I knew I would do that. All right, we're going to let you get into everything. But, you know, I think the first thing when we Google Kim Yarborough, we find about your appearance on The Voice. I know you're one of the rare cases where I think you turned all four chairs when you performed.
Actually, I did not. I only turned two, but what I found out was the other two couldn't turn.
Okay.
You find that out later. You don't know when you're on stage. Huh. You just think, he's not gonna turn for me. Okay. Okay. I see okay. How you are.
So who did you get to choose?
Didn't turn for me because they couldn't.
And you got to choose between Adam and Christina?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Blake's team and CeeLo's teams were full. Okay. But you don't know that when you're singing.
Believe it or not, I go way back to the CeeLo days when he was a rapper. I was a huge fan of the Goody Mob. So to see where his life is now is kind of crazy. But I think he should have got up and kind of manually turned the chair around.
But CeeLo was very nice to me throughout the season, though.
Did you get to interact with them other than like your own coach?
You don't get to interact with the other coaches too much, unless you're singing that day. But I got in some pretty good interaction with CeeLo, backstage and. Not too much with Blake. I think I saw Blake going to the bathroom once. We met coming to him from the bathroom. But, yeah, and then I got to talk to Christina at a party that we had later. But, yeah, it's mostly your own coach. But you get to interact some.
Yeah, okay. And you perform incredibly well. I love your song choices. You did Tell Me Something Good, Rufus and Chaka Khan, Mary J. Blige, No More Drama, Adele's Rolling in the Deep, and Jennifer Hudson, Spotlight. How much input do you have? Like, are you given like a list of songs you could choose from, or can you choose anything?
It's all of the above. It just depends. Like, when I did my audition, I did Tell Me Something Good. And I did Spotlight. But you get an email saying the producer strongly suggest you do Tell Me Something Good for your blind audition. And then Adam picked my second song. He picked the Mary J. Blige song. And then after that, there was a whole back and forth about the Adele song. They originally wanted me to do something by Lady Gaga.
Okay.
As it turns out, that was the only one of her songs I didn't know. So, yeah, we ended up going with Adele.
I think that's a crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, James. So I'm going to transition from The Voice unless you have any more questions for Kim.
No. Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So, you know, we kind of got a minute to talk, you know, before we started recording. And you sort of alluded to a fact that every guest alludes to with us, which is sort of how much of I Think You Should Leave is actually sort of comes from Tim. And maybe more than almost any comedy show, there's very little improv. They stick to the script very tightly. So I guess starting, I just want to walk through the process of how you ended up on the show. It seems like almost everybody auditions for the show. Did you audition?
I did. I auditioned four times.
Mm.
Four times. And they kept, so in Hollywood, when, I'm sorry, I got a peppermint in my mouth. Wait a minute.
No worries.
Okay, so in Hollywood, when you keep getting called back to the same show, it's not a bad thing. That means they like you and that they're looking for something for you. They're looking for just the right thing for you. Sometimes that's not the first show I've auditioned for where I had to audition for like four different times, four different characters. Once was during COVID. This is an entirely another show, but it was during COVID, and the people I was auditioning, the role I was auditioning for, the people that had booked it kept getting COVID. And so they couldn't, they couldn't do the role. So they had me audition for like four different people. So the same thing happened with, I Think You Should Leave, only, you know, it wasn't COVID. They just liked me. And so they kept bringing me back. And what I found out when I got on set is how much Tim has an input as to, I mean, cause you know, he's got to do the sketches mm-hmm. with everyone. It's like, you know, I'm a singer and I tell people, look, you're the one that has to sing the song. So it's gotta be your tempo. It's gotta be your feel. It's gotta be in your key. And so he has a big hand in who does the sketches and who they choose.
Do you recall the other characters you auditioned for?
Yeah, I was going to ask if there were characters that ended up in other sketches or what.
I auditioned for the lady that was talking to her team in the break room, I think, or in the conference room. Gosh, I don't even remember which episode that was.
That's funny. It's funny you say that because that could be like multiple. I think
sketches. As I'm saying it, I'm thinking, well, shoot, that could be like about five sketches in the in the third season. So, yeah. So I don't remember. I do.
Was
so
it
many
all
auditions, guys?
Was no, it, we, it was yeah. all for third season stuff that you were auditioning for.
This was all for third season. Okay. Yeah. And when I first got the audition, it didn't look like any audition I've ever gotten in my life. And I'm like, what is this? This looks kind of strange, but it's kind of intriguing. So I call up my friend Shelly and I'm like, Shelly, did you get an audition for this? It's like this crazy show. And she's like, yeah, I did the show and it's Emmy nominated. So do it. And I'm like, okay. So then I have this this actors group that I meet with every Friday. And I was like, guys, did you get this crazy audition? And they were like, yeah, I didn't know what that was about. It was just like the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I said, well, I'm going to go for it. And that was my first audition for the show.
Wow.
And I'm the only one that booked it.
Do you remember like what can you say what was weird about it? It's okay if you can't.
Just the wording and
okay.
how things, you know, they'll usually give you instructions.
Yeah.
But these instructions were kind of nebulous, kind of like, you know, it just really didn't tell you too much about it. But it was a show that was already on. It was already on TV. And so then after I talked to my friend Shelly and she said, do it, I watched the show and I'm like, this is freaking hilarious. And I remember the scene where he's standing there in the mall with his head and the suit on. Like, dude, I'm like, what is he doing?
That's an interesting Carl Havoc.
Yeah.
He's a genius. Tim's a genius.
So I I think the character that you end up playing is like a lot of characters kind of playing off. You're like a normal person playing against Tim as like a outlandish person. Were all of the roles that you were auditioning for like similar, just kind of like you know, not outlandish people, or did you have any that you were potentially like going to have to do something kind of crazy?
I think that's why I booked the drive-through lady, because it was the most outlandish one out of all the auditions that I did, and I got a chance to play. You know, I got a chance to act a bit of a nut in my audition. The part about the 100 fries, 55 coffees, all of that, that wasn't in there. It wasn't part of the audition, no.
Oh.
It was very, very little of it. Very little of it. And I did it completely different, but it was fun.
So when you do that line, do you get to see Tim's version of it before you do yours?
What do you mean?
Like, so obviously you and Tim utter almost the exact same line that you say wasn't in the script. So are you able to hear Tim on set when he does the line?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then
I was right behind him sitting in the car. And then at one point it was a car that I really could not drive.
And that's what I wonder.
I'm supposed to pull forward, and then the car wouldn't start at one point. The car wouldn't go, and I'm like, I can't move the car.
So what's
I was actually I was gonna say I was actually gonna ask whether you were actually in the car behind him in the actual recording, like whether you're kind of it's recorded all at once with him going through and you and everything. So that was like set up just like what we see.
And they I don't know if I can say this. I'm gonna say it.
Yeah.
I think there's a part that's not in there where at the end he like drives up on the curb and he's trying to, the car is stuck between the wheels are stuck between the curb and the street, and he's trying to move it and he can't, he's burning rubber on the median. I don't think that's in there. They did, there were a lot of people just coming out going, what is going on? They were coming out of the stores that were in the surrounding area, taking video, taking pictures, like, what the hell is going on?
And I was curious, yeah, like, I'm assuming that's like a Wendy's in Los Angeles, maybe?
No, it wasn't a Wendy's. I think it was some kind of private burger, like mom and pop operation. Okay. But it was, it didn't look like a mom and pop operation. It looked like a franchise.
Yeah.
Maybe it's some kind of franchise from some other part of the country that I don't know about. But it was a really nice burger shop.
And do you remember, like, what time of day it was?
Well, we start in the morning.
Yeah.
We start early in the morning. So by the time we got done, maybe it was about noon, 1 o'clock, 1:30, somewhere like that.
Yeah. Because I'm not a... big person in Hollywood, but I have been on a couple of film sets, and to be honest, I think James and I were sort of wondering the same thing about whether, you know, like it was done on a soundstage or they were just sort of filming you, you know, like when the car was stopped. But it's really interesting to hear that it was just sort of very organic and you were driving and it was outside with people around. I would have been watching at the same time. I wonder if there's like, if people have Instagram video or something out there of things happening.
They
Everyone's
probably
got their phone.
Do, because there were a lot of people out there filming that day. But yeah, that scene, I don't think that part of the scene made the cut. I got to go watch it again. I'm still not through the entire third season yet. I've got to watch it. I've had so many auditions the last, I don't know, last few weeks. I'm like, I want to catch up on my stuff.
I think that's reasonable. It hasn't been out for that long. I mean, on that note, how quickly did you watch so you could see yourself? Did you watch like the night it came out?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, some people don't like to watch themselves on TV and film, and I'm one of those. So basically, I'm watching just to see, okay, how bad was I? And if it's good, then I'll tell people, okay, guess what, guys? I'm on this show. I'm going to tell them to watch it no matter what. Because if I like a show, I like a show. And I did that with the Upshaws, Wanda Sykes' new show.
Yeah.
And I liked my role on that show. But I waited until after I saw my... Because you don't know what they're going to cut. You don't know how they're going to edit it. You might not be in there. And then you're telling everybody, oh my God, I'm on this show. And you're on the cutting room floor.
And along that note, I mean, we're assuming you... Like when the season drops, you, in addition to getting weird messages on Instagram from podcasts, you probably also got a bunch of text messages and people reaching out. You know,
it's just now starting because I'm just now starting to put it out on social media. I did an Instagram post. I think something's going on with Facebook because I don't know what happened to that post. It kind of disappeared. So I got to do it again.
Okay. And we want to warn you, you're going to be walking down the street and like in the airport and people are going to be yelling 55 burgers at you. I just want you to know.
Okay, I'm used to it.
But it'll be very we're not just saying this because we're members of it. It's sort of like in spite of us, the I think you should leave community is incredibly kind and supportive, and you're just gonna get so much love over the next couple of years from a bunch of random people.
I hope so.
Yeah.
That was a memorable line because when we wrapped the scene that day, the crew was they were mimicking my lines.
Yeah.
I'm like, did I really sit like that?
Well, that sketch has become one of the like quick favorites for a lot of people, and like my wife and her sister are also fans of the show and really love that sketch. And when I told them we were going to be talking with you, they were like, "Oh, she's my favorite part of that sketch." So they're very excited about this. I think your delivery and even just you know, in the very first shot of you where you're reacting to Tim yelling, your like facial expression reaction is like tells so much without even any words. It's great.
That was fun too. Man, I had a short learning curve on learning how to drive that damn car. Whew.
Kevin, I think you're on mute. I don't know what's happening. Oh. I saw you talking there, but I don't know.
That's good to know. That's good to hear. I was just glad I made the trailer and I made the opening part of the trailer.
Yeah, so. I was gonna say that's. I feel like I was gonna ask if you saw the trailer like when it first came out, because you're the first non-Tim person that shows up and very very prominently at the beginning.
Yeah. I think they had a season three, a different one, and I saw that one first. I wasn't in that one. I think. And then I just saw the one I'm in like a couple of days ago and I'm like, oh, okay. This is cool.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was off for a second. I guess one of the other big questions is, I know you're, you know, renowned for being a musician. You've done voice work in addition to your acting. How many takes did they record of you doing the big line? Because that's a tough line to get out.
Of the, that you, line?
Yeah.
Maybe five?
Oh, that's not bad.
Or six? Yeah, and I had it memorized, though.
That's, no lie, when I did the opening, I was looking at my phone.
Wow, we never could have told that.
Well, you guys probably could have, but the listeners at home definitely could not have.
Now, Kevin, how many times did you practice it beforehand?
My family's heard it about 50 times.
I was very impressed. Thank you.
I'm also wondering, and this is the type of thing that's going to happen, Kim. if any of our listeners goes to a fast food place and orders something roughly like that on video, just tag us on Instagram at That's a Chunky. Because
of course,
it's not going to be $680 though.
Oh my god!
Bring some money.
I can't even imagine. Oh, I don't go to a lot of fast food places, but same. I do go to Wendy's sometimes, and well, I go to Five Guys, but they don't have a drive-through.
Hmm. Well, they're gonna have to get one now. James, what other questions do you have from this amazing sketch?
Well, so one of the things that that you and your card does is a very quick reverse to get back to the ordering window. Did you do that like fast reverse? That was like a little bit of a tight turn and stuff.
I had a stunt driver. Well, actually, okay. I did the backup, but
okay,
in order to get back to start to film it again from the top of the scene, I backed the car up, but no, the quick backup, no.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say, I know that the show has some stunts, and I was wondering if they would entrust a valued actor with that, or if they're bringing in stunt drivers for that.
Man, I could barely drive the car forward. I'm not used to I think it was a Prius or something like that, and I drive a Jeep, so I'm like, ooh, this is way different. It's like on a delay. When I press the accelerator, it takes a second, so I gotta get a jump on it. It was like really weird. It was so weird.
I'm sure you were better than you thought you were.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, it's part of our sort of role on the show. We immediately have to start rating these sketches. I think season 3 is very sort of deep. I think every season before it sort of had some sketches people sort of like wrote off pretty early. I'm not seeing a lot of that. But I think this is a contender. I think people really like this sketch. It's top tier. And one of the things that's cool is, as much as Tim is really important on screen in the sketch, you are as well. And you have a really big part in I think this sketch that people are going to watch for a long time.
That makes me feel great, because that's what we actors want. We want something that's going to be memorable, even if it's one of the smaller parts, or if it's a bigger part or medium-sized part. You want to be memorable, so that makes me feel great. Thank you.
And just sort of speaking of which, you've been on numerous shows that are I think just have real strong core fan bases and are really critically acclaimed. From, I'm just going to read some of them. I mean, it's not even all the amazing ones you've been on. Dexter, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, New Girl, which I never finished, but I really loved that show and I need to go back and finish it. The Mindy Project, Jane the Virgin, you're on Keenan. I list that because I'm a fan of his. Emily the Criminal, and maybe my favorite from your list, Curious George. I got to watch a lot of shows with my kids. Curious George has a really good vibe to it. Do you have one list on your credits that is particularly important to you as an actress?
Yes. You know how you were talking about a memorable the memorable scenes and the winner sketches? My very first speaking role on television ever was on Bones.
Mm.
It was in 2009, and I remember, I'm going to tell a little sad story, but then I'll move on.
Okay.
My dad, he used to laugh at me my whole life when I told him I was going to be on television, and my very first speaking role on Bones aired on November 19th, 2009, and he was in the ICU, and I'm sure the TV was on, but he couldn't see it. He couldn't hear it. Probably he died the next day. So I remember that as like a pivotal time in my life. And it's one of the favorite scenes. It's one of the favorite episodes when they go to a crime has been committed in a foreclosure in a home, and they go to this what's called a feeder bar, where they're like plus size women and regular size men, or vice versa. And it's a fetish where it's an actual thing where people like to see people gorge on food, and they like to see heavy people gorge on food. So my role in that show was large woman, and I got to dance with Brennan's dad, and it was just, it was great. And it's such a beloved episode. I still get residuals from that episode.
Wow. You might get more, because I'm definitely gonna check this out.
Yeah,
watch it. It's called The Foot in the Foreclosure.
Okay. Try to see if I can even link it. Although that's tough with whole episodes sometimes. And to sort of spin off that, what do you have anything upcoming you're looking forward to that you'd like to plug? I know we might want to plug your music on Spotify as well.
Oh, I have very little on Spotify, but you can plug it if you want. Most of the stuff that's on Spotify is stuff I recorded when I was on The Voice.
Do you get some residuals from that?
No.
Oh, no. All right. We're not plugging that.
Yeah, because it's other people's music.
We're gonna plug Sadie by Kim Yarbrough. I listened to that before we.
That's not me.
That's not you.
That's not me.
Oh my God! Someone
that is a girl with the same name who happens to be on my account, and I keep trying to get her off of my account.
All right, we're gonna send and desist her.
You know what? You have to. I shut everything down and put it on my website.
Okay. All right. Well, let's plug your website.
www.kimyarbrough.com.
Awesome.
All right. Well, you kept that from the other woman with the same name as you, then.
Thank God she can't get on my real estate online. Shoot.
Make sure you have a strong password for the website, because she's out there. You know what I mean?
She is out there, and there's a guitar player, a guy by the name of Kim Yarbrough.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. When I was on The Voice, this woman wrote to me on my website and said, "Kim, I'm just curious as a fan. I enjoyed you on The Voice, but I'm wondering why you killed your husband." And I said, "Who this woman? who this woman? And I'm like, "Who is this chick?" So finally, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get upset about it. And I typed back, "I'm sorry, ma'am. I don't know what you mean. I've never been married." She dug all the way. And I had to go find this lady named Kim Yarbrough in Texas. This woman had to scroll down like 10 pages to find the story that was at the very bottom about this woman who gave her husband assisted suicide because he was ill. And I'm like, man, people are nuts.
You should have just replied with something like, "He deserved it," or something like that. that's what I would, if you get another chance. Yeah. Something like that. Well, you've been very generous with your time. James, I don't know if you have any questions before we let Kim get back to her regular life.
No questions, just another big thank you for joining us and for, you know, talking about your experience with the show and just your, you know, your career and everything.
Anytime. If Tim calls me back, I'll be sure to let you guys know.
Oh, and actually, we do have one more question. And I do want to say you are welcome back anytime for any reason. But we do want to, we know we talked about before, your favorite sketch from the entirety of the show.
Every time I think about it, I start laughing. It's the it's the one where he's in the office and he has the hot dog in his mouth and they're trying to pry it out. And my friend Shelley is in that scene.
It's amazing.
He's in that scene with him. So Yeah.
Fantastic.
So James actually makes a lot of memes where he'll take something from the show and apply it to something else. And I know in my life, I've often taken a line from that sketch, which is, I'm the tiredest I've ever been in my whole life. Because in my current life, I often am the tiredest I've ever been in my entire life.
Really?
Yeah. So Kim picks the Carver reputation back, which I think is a really, really solid pick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's a classic, definitely one of the immediate hits.
Definitely. It was the one that had me hooked in, like, wait a minute, I gotta watch the rest of this season. This is crazy.
That is the journey everyone has with this show, is they kind of watch it once and they're like, that's an interesting, funny show. And then we all have a sketch that brings us back, and you end up rewatching the other sketches to get to that sketch. Yeah. And you just keep watching it over and over again.
I'm going to go back and watch that sketch again as soon as we finish the interview.
All right. Well, we're going to let you go do that.
Okay. And did you James, know that you guys together are Kevin James? I know that's corny. That's so
I know.
Corny.
I know.
Yeah, we try to order our names that way just to confuse people and think, you know, we're a bigger name than we are.
I thought you were Kevin James.
Man, if only we were, you know.
Yeah.
But we want to thank you so much. It really was a joy to talk to you tonight. And let us know if you ever need to come back on for any reason. Otherwise, we'll probably be knocking your door down when you're on seasons four through 50 of I Think You Should Leave.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. I'll be listening for the episodes.
It'll be up tonight.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Kim.
Thanks. Thank you.
Good night. Welcome back to That's a Chunky. We just finished up with Kim Yarborough, who's amazing. And James actually has some intelligent thoughts on the sketch. So we don't want to leave those on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, I just, you know, I think from my experience of watching other people experience this season of the show, seems like both just random people online and people I know kind of feel like this pay it forward sketch that Kim is in is one of the most kind of accessible and immediately kind of funny, but in a non weird or alienating way for like broadly appealing. You know, some of the other sketches are like a little bit out there, or like you know, there's the Darmine Doggy Door has a weird monster in it that's kind of makes people uncomfortable. Some of them have like, you know, a nude egg in them that also make people maybe like not want to watch it around, you know, their parents or whatever. But this one is I think broadly funny for anyone watching. You know, it's very relatable, and so I feel like this is the kind of sketch that's like the gateway sketch to the season for a lot of people. And so I feel like, you know, a lot of people are going to be watching it repeatedly and therefore watching Kim in it repeatedly. And, you know, I think she's going to stand out as a pretty memorable, you know, appearance in the show. And I've already even seen so TikTok has a feature where, you know, I forget what it's called, but basically you can cut out the a person or a couple people and superimpose them, like video of them over other things as like a template for videos and memes. And so the Tim from season two saying, "You sure about that? You sure about that?" like has been used a lot of times on TikTok. And the first thing that I've seen being used there from this season is him yelling, "Stop, stop, let me go first, I'm doing something," and cutting between him and Kim in that shot even. So I feel like she's already getting some like visibility over meme and video play, which is great. So I think she definitely will need to expect to see, you know, to have people yelling 55 burgers at her regularly from here on.
Yeah, she really, she doesn't have a crazy amount of screen time, and sort of like both of her vocal parts are, she really nails. I also think it maybe has the straightest straight man Not her, the woman who works the window. She's like really nails the like prototypical fast food employee. I've already seen one meme, which is just like a ticket inside a commercial kitchen, which just has the order on it. And it looks like it might have really been done by someone who worked in a restaurant. Like, it's not Photoshopped. And then sort of the extension of it. There's like the time Donald Trump hosted, I think maybe like LSU or whoever won some sort of national championship, and he just ordered a bunch of fast food, maybe Alabama. I don't know. I don't watch college football. And it just has the 55 burgers, 55 fries across it.
With him standing in front of a table of like all these fast food items and everything. Yeah, that's a really good one. I've seen a lot of play of just that line coming up a lot. I think there was like an Arby's or something like posted a picture of their marquee saying something about like the I think you should leave special something for 55 or five burgers for $55 or whatever it was.
Oh my God.
And like the Netflix Twitter account riffed on it with them and stuff. So it's definitely kind of crossing into the mainstream already.
And we also sort of wanted just briefly, obviously we always want to have Jared here. He couldn't make it tonight. And I shit you not, in the past, he has sort of mentioned that he identified with Tim's character, who is sort of emasculated at the magic show. And then his wife, played by Cecily Strong, is sort of like unable to tolerate it all. No lie, this afternoon, he texted us that he couldn't make it during recording because his wife had booked tickets to a magic show. So we're asking all of our listeners to pray for him that he isn't shown up on stage, even though he probably really does make 10 times the amount of the magician, and the fact that his kids are currently doing art with the babysitter.
I just hope he doesn't have to drive so that he can order that bourbon flight. That sounded really cool.
It's maybe the most meta moment from the show.
Yep.
I'm really enjoying it right now. and if he gets sort of enough condolences, we are going to send Vinod's home address out to everybody.
just flash it on screen like at the Pacific Proposal Park commercial with those wrestlers.
Weirdly, the numeric part of his address is all the numbers from the Pay It Forward sketch. So it's like 55, 55, 55, 55, 100. It's a really long address. I think it's the only one of that number on Google Maps.
Okay, yeah. 55 Burger Lane, the corner of 55 Burger Lane and Fry Boulevard.
So we are sort of like, and I'll talk more with James when we officially sign off, but we do have a couple more of irons in the fire, I think is what they say, in terms of interviews that I'm really excited about. I feel like there's so many people I'd love to interview from this season. So, we're just going to keep reaching out to people. But if you have anybody you really want to see, or you're a member of, like, if you're part of the series yourself, you can reach out to us, figure out what you do at gmail.com. James, any last words before we sign off?
I've been rewatching the season a lot, and I think you said it's a very deep season, a lot of great sketches, and I think they continue getting better with rewatches. So I think not quite ready to go through ranking them all, but I encourage all fans to, if there's a sketch that didn't hit with them the first time through, to give it another chance, because a lot of these do hit on the third, second, fourth rewatches too.
Totally agree. All right, that's us signing off. That's a chunky.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That's a Chunky has always been supported by the Etsy shop of Swayzine, Swayzine. In the past, you've seen his amazing motivational posters, his at the Nighthawks diner featuring characters from I Think You Should Leave. You also know his vintage jazz posters of Paul Bufano, Marcus the Worm Hicks, and Mookie Kramer. Swayzine has a ton of new items in his shop we wanted to let you guys know about. Those three jazz posters have been turned into attractive t-shirts. The Marcus Hicks in blue, the Mookie Kramer in green, Paul Bufano in white. He has a very affordable Bozo the Clown Clown Pewter sticker that you can put on your computer. There is a Baby of the Year bib and onesie. He has Angels and Archways t-shirts, as well as two new posters, one featuring Dangerous Knights, which is being framed and put on my wall, and an amazing portrait of Brian from the hat sketch, the insider trading sketch. But the whole point of me re-recording this ad was to tell you about maybe the most innovative I Think You Should Leave product I've seen in my time doing this podcast, which is actual Dan Flash's shirts. So this isn't like a t-shirt that says Dan Flash on the front. This is a short or short sleeve polo or a long sleeve collared shirt that has the pattern Tim Robinson is wearing in the Dan Flash sketch, affordably priced at $30. I know when I went to the Dan Flash stores at the Creeks, I spent $800 out the door and didn't eat for a long time, saving my per diem. But if you go to Etsy.com/shop/Swayzine. Again, Swayzine is Swayzine. You can own these shirts yourself. And we want to thank Reggie from Swayzine for his support of That's a Chunky.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.